couple of days ago, we spoke to Steve Bennett, European Director of Sales for Dolphin Computer Access. Dolphin this month are launching the Dolphin Pen, which is a new way for users of Dolphin software to take their screen reader with them wherever they go. I asked Steve to begin by describing the Dolphin Pen.
Yeah, the Dolphin Pen is it's a new version, a new way of actually running Dolphin software. So this could be Lunar on magnification, Lunar plus the enhanced magnification, HAL our screen reader, or Supernova, which is speech magnification and Braille. They're actually installed onto what we call a flash drive here in the UK, but I believe it's often called a thumb drive. So it's a little USB stick.
Like a dongle, kind of.
Yeah, it's very similar to a dongle. This particular one that we're using here has 128 megabytes of storage. So they're quite readily available.
Can you give us an idea of the sort of dimensions? What kind of size of device are we talking?
Yeah, we've called it a pen, but it's just a standard USB stick. So in dimensions, for our European cousins, we're looking at 2 centimeters by about 6 centimeters, which is roughly about 3 inches by about 1 inch.
Okay, and so this is for use with machines that have already got Windows installed but don't have any screen access software installed on there, or.
Well, they could have screen access software installed on there, but then this is just an alternative way of being able to run it.
Right, okay.
If they don't have any software on there at all, again, it can be used here.
Right, so primarily this is for the operating systems that are already supported by existing Dolphin software, so we're looking at sort of Windows 98 onwards, really.
We'd love to be able to do that. Unfortunately, USB is only really supported in Windows 2000, XP Home and XP Professional.
Right.
So we're just saying it's best to keep to those platforms at the moment.
What does a user have to do to get it going?
But you need to make sure that you have the Dolphin Interceptor actually installed on the PC. All right, so that can be installed before, or you can install it from the pen. It's 152 kilobytes. What it does is intercepts the information and includes Microsoft's DCM, little utility. You can download our interceptor from our website, or it's actually on the pen. It's free, and you can put it on as many PCs as you wish, and then what happens then is when you walk up to the machine, you literally just plug it in, and it will start to run.
Right, so you're essentially giving away the interceptor component to get machines Dolphin pen ready, as it were.
I think that's a really good way of putting it, David, yeah. Pen ready, pen friendly, we call it here. So that sort of goes with the Dolphin friendly aspect as well.
We like that. Okay, well, I understand you've got one there.
I have indeed. And what I'm going to do is just plug it into the side of my PC, which I've got here. This PC is USB 2. So it will actually start a little bit quicker. So I'm going to pop it in, and I've turned the speakers up, so hopefully people will be able to hear what's going on. Here it goes. Okay, that little tune says that the first one was a dunker. It recognized a USB storage drive, and then the tune of the Supernova in this particular case is just starting up. So it's a little starting tune that actually comes with it.
So you've already got the interceptor installed on that machine, or is that what would happen the first time somebody puts that in?
If it's the first time, then maybe a little bit of sighted assistance is actually required. You should perhaps need to turn on something like Windows Narrator, and actually go to the pen itself, which will be one of the drives there, and you just enter on the go.exe, which is on the pen. That will install the interceptor.
Right. Okay. There's no way to get the pen to trigger something like Narrator, or at least a recorded file. There's no way to sort of auto-run that to guide a user through that, rather than them having to rely on some sighted assistance.
Okay, that would be really nice. Unfortunately, the hardware technology is not quite yet there in terms of being able to auto-start things. We did look into that quite seriously, and unfortunately, it's not quite there. We actually feel that most people will be using a number of machines and very rarely vary from, say, sort of 10 machines in their life.
Right.
So hopefully they'll have this installed each time and they will be able to just plug it in. It's not to say that we don't mind as many people as possible using downloading the interceptor and putting it onto all the machines they want.
Now, in terms of the sorts of user access that one would need to get that interceptor installed initially...
You need to have local administration rights on the machine.
Right.
So on my XP machine here, I have that, as most people will have at home. that may be slightly different in sort of an employment work environment, school, any sort of education environment. It may need the administrator for the network to actually install it. So we've got a little pack, a little explanation for those people, how they actually install it. They can stick it on the server and then go to the workstation and run it locally on the workstation.
Okay, so just to clarify, you've got a pen with your licensed copy of Supernova or HAL or Luna or whatever it may be on there, and you can install the Interceptor on as many machines as you like at home, your friends, your family, at work, down the library, wherever it may be, and then you just carry your screen reader with you, essentially.
Screen reader, or perhaps just your magnifier, or if it's Supernova, screen reader and magnifier.
And in terms of that product being synchronized with the regular product that people are used to buying on CD, is it going to be exactly the same functionality?
Exactly the same. Whilst it doesn't actually load onto the PC as in an install, it actually runs from the pen itself. It's exactly the same piece of software. So all the hotkeys are the same. The functionality differs not one iota.
Okay. What advocacy do users need to do to make sure that public access points get this Interceptor installed? Because presumably that's where it's really going to come into its own, being able to access it. You know, if I go into a library, for example, if that library doesn't already, have a screen access product there, I mean, but if I go into a library or an internet cafe, and they don't have this Interceptor installed, and I want to use my Dolphin pen, what sorts of things are Dolphin encouraging users to do to try and get this happening? Because I guess that's the goal at the end of the day.
What we'd like to be able to do is, we're actually writing to many of the internet cafes, libraries, and offering the Interceptor to them free of charge. So they can actually take it. If they want, they can have a little pack, and we can put some Dolphin-friendly stickers which actually come with it. And we also give them some hotkey guides, or what we call quick reference guides, so that people can use those locally as well. So we're going to have a campaign at Dolphin to make sure that as many people can take the Interceptor as possible. I mean, absolutely free. There's no charge whatsoever. You can install it as many times as you wish. I would encourage everybody to actually say, go to the Dolphin website, pick this up, because I may want to come in, or anybody wants to come in with a pen and just plug it in. I've noticed that in some cafes and in some environments, USB is actually not an option. It's sort of been, the security has been optioned out. So in those particular cases, it may be very difficult to plug the pen in. I think it's important that I make everybody aware there are some slight restrictions.
Sure. What do we do as consumers and you as an industry, Steve, do to try and address the problem? Because I don't know if you come up against this, but certainly, in the past, I've applied for jobs where I've said, I can install my screen reader on your systems, and I'll be able to do my job quite happily. And, the network security guys have sort of oomed and ahed, and they've heard about horror stories in the past and that sort of thing. And I'm just wondering, what can we do to help assuade people's fears, and what can the industry do to help address that?
Yeah, okay. I sincerely hope the fact that we're only putting this little 152 kilobyte Interceptor on to the PC and everything else is running from the pen itself means that we're going to really overcome some of those hang-ups that some of the network administrators have about putting full software actually onto the PC.
Yeah.
Remember here that when we actually sort of change anything in our software, we're taking our settings with us as well. So we don't need to have roaming profiles across a network, or if it's a different network, we don't need to worry. We're actually taking our settings with us.
So and that would be right across the board. That would be your Braille settings, your application settings, your speech settings, whatever it may be.
And colour and highlighting settings, yeah, everything.
Right. And are there no, other than this Interceptor then, there are no other hooks, there's no other information that the screen reader needs in order to work properly? I guess there'll be people listening to this thinking, well, how's that going to work as well as my existing, screen reader that I have on a CD? I mean, I'm guessing the Interceptor gives it all the information that it needs.
It does. The reality, the Interceptor for Dolphin products, unlike some others, is platform independent, so it doesn't matter if it's on NT or XP, home or professional, Citrix, whatever, is exactly the same interceptor that we actually use, and obviously we charge no different for it. In this particular case, our only sort of inhibition is USB really works at its best automatically off Windows 2000, XP Home and Professional.
Right.
So everybody, I hope, can use it where they want.
So what's been the background to this? Because obviously you're launching the device at the moment, or at least in the near future. Have there been trials of the device, and what sort of feedback are you getting?
Yeah. It's really pleasing. It really is pleasing. I can think of somebody I know who might be speaking to at the moment who did a university degree and benefited from the fact that he had a really good administrator, a network administrator, and was able to log into any of the network machines. But that's not the case for everybody.
That's right.
A lot of people we found they cannot log into a machine. Often the screen reader is how the last person left it actually on that machine. Now you're taking your settings with us. The feedback we're getting from education in particular is it's really given some sort of flexibility in terms of the licensing, but more than that, that the settings are automatically there. There's none of this, I've got to turn, change the speech, change the braille, or change even the magnification color settings. It's all automatically there, so a real advocacy for people. It's been used quite widely in two or three colleges that we've been working with, and also we have one. I have a network administrator who's trying it for me. He works for one of the government departments, and what he's found is he can walk along to any machine, just plug his pen in, and he's a magnification user at low levels, and he's just being able to work on the machine without changing the resolutions for him as well.
That's great news, Steve. Let's talk about the filthy subject of money then. What is this going to cost people, and what's the difference to an existing user and to a new user of the product?
Yeah, okay, we'll do. Yeah, there are differences. So what we've done is if I go through the sort of two-stage pricing, so
sure.
We have the US pricing.
Yes.
And we also have the UK pricing. So if I was to look at the UK itself, the cost of Supernova would be £835, and we're actually adding it's £900 with the pen drive itself.
Right.
Remember, that means that people can use any PC. They're not restricted to a single PC.
So you've got like a roaming license, effectively.
Yeah, the only restriction on the license is they must have the permission of the PC owner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the only restriction. If you're an existing customer of Dolphin's, the pen is actually £495. That's for Supernova. So let me give you that equivalent in dollars. So Supernova, which is speech magnification and braille, is $1,195. And the pen version, if you're already, with the pen version, it's $1,290. And if you're already an existing Dolphin customer, the pen version to you would be $795.
Right, and can you just run us through HAL as well? I guess that's the other one that most of our listeners will be interested in.
Yeah, of course, no problem at all. In the UK, it's £595, so an extra £65, so that takes it up to £660. The pen version, if you're an existing customer, £355. And in the US, it's £890 for a pen version, if it's a new box, and it's £525 if you're an existing customer.
Okay. There's a couple of other things I wanted to ask you about, Steve, but was there anything else on the Dolphin pen that you wanted to add before we moved on?
Yeah, there's a couple of things, if I may, David. I'm really grateful. Firstly, I have to emphasize to everybody here that if you lose the pen, right, in some ways, really, you've lost the license. Okay, so there is a downside to it, and we're just a little bit worried that sort of licenses will be given around. It's just like the CD in many ways. We're hoping that people are going to look after their pens like they look after their CDs, because they don't lose those.
Mm.
But we need to make that quite clear.
Are there any? That's an interesting point. And obviously, you've got to guard against piracy, whether intentional or otherwise. Are there any security features, or are there any plans for any security features, so a user, if they did lose their pen, then it's not going to be of any use to anyone else?
Absolutely. You'll find that on the pen itself, there's a little backup and a restore utility. So you can, if you've, you can still use the pen as a pen, although we don't recommend it. So if you back up the software, which is actually on there, onto a local hard drive, you can restore it back just in case you overwrite it. But at the same time, it will never run on another hard drive. It'll only run on the pen that you're given. So there is some security there.
Right, right. So the software's tied to the pen, basically.
Exactly that. You can back it up to as many PCs as you'd like, and then you can drop it back on, and just in case you overwrite it or it gets damaged in any way, and then it will work back on that pen. So, it is tied to the pen. Once I finish using the pen version, I actually turn it off. So, well, I'll just turn the speech back on here a minute. If I go and open up the Supernova control panel.
Supernova control panel, visual property sheet, magnification and select file menu bar. File menu, create or choose settings, file dot restore default, create or choose a situation management, situation settings, import dot dot dot, settings file management to quit Supernova.
If I can select that.
Quit Supernova, if you quit Supernova, your speech and magnification will stop. Are you sure you want to quit? Yes button.
Okay. Now, just before, did you hear the tune there?
I did, yes. Yep.
Now it's safe to take the pen out. Okay, and what that means is it's actually stopped writing the pen.
So that's important for people to know. They've got to close the software before they pull the pen out.
They have, and that's one of the reasons for making the backup, because like in all hard drives, if they're actually current and you stop them, then it can cause some damage. It can corrupt the data.
Interesting you mentioned that, actually. It just occurred to me, how rugged a device is this? Is it a solid state device, or there are no moving parts? If somebody were to drop it, is that going to cause a problem?
Yeah, no, it's not. The device itself, we're actually sending it out, is like many of these things, it's actually got a plastic chassis, but metal, little aluminium sides to it with a cap.
Right.
It's fairly rugged device. It's actually engraved with Dolphin Computer Access on both sides. It has a carrying strap or a neck strap which can be detached, and we actually send it out with a USB extension lead as well, just in case you've got a PC at home where you don't want to sort of crawl to the back of it like I have.
Right.
So you can have that coming up onto the desktop or on top of the PC, so it's much easier to actually insert it.
I talked before about how, you know, we as users and you as industry try to persuade people about the importance of allowing these interceptors to be installed on machines that are available for public access, and clearly there's a lot of work to do there. Do you think our cause would be helped at all if the industry were to collaborate on a common interceptor, or is that just not likely at all?
Yeah, okay. My understanding of that particular technical aspect is fairly low, but I believe that each of the access company uses or interprets the information slightly differently.
Right.
What we have got is a standard chassis that we bolt into, which is the Microsoft DCM. So in doing that, we can all sort of exist on the machine. In the bad old days when it was NT, where everybody, sort of the first person that had, first company had their access software on the machine, sort of grabbed the video card.
Yeah.
Those are gone now, thankfully.
Right.
And more than one piece of software can actually exist on the machine via that DCM.
Yeah, I guess you can see where I'm going with this. That
I can.
Essentially, you know, if a user of one product wants to change, perhaps change to the Dolphin pen, and I'm guessing it's only a matter of time before you guys, obviously the first with this, but I'm guessing it's only a matter of time before somebody else comes along and says, well, we've got our interceptor now as well. So, then we've got to fight that fight all over again with, people who administer, you know, networks in libraries and so on and so forth. And it would just seem from their perspective, if there was a common standard across, you know, the industry, it might reassure them that this is safe.
I have to say that if you're actually looking, we all install to the same place and we're all using the DCM.
Sure.
So if one of the other companies comes up with the idea, there's nothing to stop you actually installing their DCM as well.
Yeah.
And it'll go and plug into the or their interceptor, it'll plug into the same DCM.
Sure, understood.
Right, so the people shouldn't worry that they've got a piece of existing software. They will coexist, even though you've only just got the DCM on from Dolphin.
Okay. Let's talk about availability. Can people buy this now, or is this something that's about to be launched?
Yeah, okay, it's going to be launched very soon. You're actually, people are placing orders. We took a number of orders today, actually. So, yeah, it's available for purchase. The orders are coming in quite nicely, actually, particularly, I might say, from the States, where we seem to sort of capture some people's imagination during the CSUN exhibition.
Yeah, I guess you've got, I mean, the States, you know, this whole wireless home networking thing seems to be quite big, and I guess a lot of people, you know, like to be able to just sort of carry their pen around and use it on, you know, whatever, the girlfriend's laptop or whatever it may be.
Well, yeah, let me think of, I have a couple of colleagues here who have relatives. When they go to their houses, they can actually take the pen with them.
Yep.
They don't have to worry that the relative doesn't understand why the software is coming on automatically. They literally just plug the pen in and it works.
Well, and for somebody who's not tech savvy, I guess it's very obvious, you know, blind person comes along, plugs his little gizmo into the computer and makes it talk. You know, it seems almost magical, but then I suppose for somebody who isn't tech savvy, it probably makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, that's, it is. It's the simplicity of it. People can't go, and I just plug it in? Yes. You literally plug the pen in, have a screen reader and magnifier.
So you're taking pre-orders now. When's the Dolphin pen due to start shipping, Steve?
It's due to start shipping next week.
Next week.
Which will be
this week for people listening on ACB Radio.
Right. Okay, 2nd of May.
Okay, excellent. Okay, in other news then, Steve, was there anything else on the pen, by the way?
Yeah, a couple of quick things. Some people may know that we actually have an option to update from the internet on our CD version. That exists on the pen as well. So if we have any updates or new maps available, they can click on that and it will load the pen. When it comes to upgrades, people that have a pen version, we will be sending out a CD and that will upgrade the pen, so they don't need to send the pen back.
Ah, okay.
They can retain it. And the other thing, of course, is if they have a earlier version on CD of their Dolphin software, we're quite happy to send you the very latest version. You don't have to upgrade your CD version. And you can upgrade them separately as you wish.
Okay.
We don't charge you if you miss an upgrade. It's if you didn't like the features in that upgrade, it's entirely
That's right.
up to you.
If you've still got version 4 and you want to jump to version 6.5, it's just one upgrade. You've released version 6.5 recently. I hope I'm not putting you on the spot. If you have this information to hand, we'd appreciate it. If not, not to worry. We can, you know, we can always record something else on this at a later date. Just highlight some of the differences between the version 6.1 of the Dolphin suite and version 6.5. And I hear you rifling through there, so I'm guessing you're going to be able to tell us, which is good.
Thank you very much, David. Yeah, okay, we'll do. I've got some documents in front of me. 6.5 has stunning support for PowerPoint.
Sure.
So regardless, PowerPoint 2000, XP and 2003, it works particularly well with those. People in Europe may take their... They have a computer test here, as you may know, European Computers Driving License. You can now pass that if you're using HAL, whereas before it was most difficult with any other software, to be quite frank.
Or you would have to have some kind of concessions made, I guess, in terms of the course.
You don't need any concessions anymore.
No excuses,
isn't
it?
You get the opportunity to drop some points and you can still pass.
Right.
Okay. Adobe 7, there was good support for that because Adobe were good enough to put the document object model support in there for us.
Okay.
So that was introduced. One of the nice things in magnification is we've done less than 2x magnification to what we call fractional.
Ah, that's right. Yeah, I wonder if you could explain this, because obviously there'll be a lot of people listening who are totally blind, but we do have some low vision listeners, and I've read about this fractional magnification. It sounds terribly convoluted, but it isn't, is it? It's fairly straightforward.
No, it is. So our product used to start at 2x magnification, so effectively you're looking at 25% of the screen. Now we've got this option where you can look at 1.2, 1.33, 1.5, 1.66, 1.8, and then we go to 2.25, 2.5, 2.75, and 3.5. So there's much smaller jumps.
More increments. If you've got something that looks giant in one side but just a little bit too small in the other, there's quite likely now to be a setting somewhere in between that's going to work.
Yeah, indeed. Can't tell you the number of people I've met over the years who say 2 is a little bit too much, or is there anywhere between 2 and 3? So now we've got those options available for them. There's a checkbox on the control panel which says include fractional magnification. If you check that, then those all those incremental jumps appear, and as you're moving up in the magnification, you can go through those. The development guys made it really clever in the way that they actually supported those incremental release increases. What they've done there is made it so it's very crisp when you're increasing the size of the font there.
Okay.
So it looks very clear. So that's fractional magnification. We included another sort of way of being able to document read a document as well. So in Luna Plus and Supernova, it actually reads the document and centers the spoken word in the top middle of the screen.
Right.
So people can actually, who use that feature, can actually concentrate just at the one point. So you can choose the speech, but the scrolling is very, very smooth.
Okay. The two I had highlighted really, Steve, for the 6.5 was the PowerPoint and the PDF, and I'm just wondering if you can just elaborate a little bit on those. What are people getting there when they're using PowerPoint?
Yeah, okay. What we can do here is you still get to use all the PowerPoint keys that Microsoft have introduced. So when you're in a PowerPoint presentation, pressing cursor down will take you to the next slide. And then pressing cursor down may introduce the next element of that particular slide. All of those aspects work, so it's not taking over the sort of keyboard. What we do is if you want to listen to the slide itself, if you just press, go into virtual focus and then press S for slide, then you can cursor through the slide locally and hear what's actually displayed on the screen.
Right, without having any impact on the app. So it's a bit like the way in which you guys interface with Internet Explorer, I suppose.
Yeah.
Right, and PDF 7, I guess that's a similar kind of arrangement, is it?
Indeed, yeah. So you can document read, find your font information out, very similar to a lot of stuff you can do in Microsoft Word.
Right.
So now some PowerPoint, I forgot to mention there, if I may.
Sure.
Pressing N will take you into your notes. So
right.
You can listen to your notes as you're actually going through the slide as well.
I suppose that's helpful if you're a totally blind user and your slides are largely visual in nature, useful to have sort of notes accompanying each slide so you kind of know where you're up to.
It certainly helped me.
Yeah. Okay, right. The other thing, finally, just before we sign off, just to find out what the status is of the development of the Dolphin software for PDA.
Like a lot of development streams, it sort of bubbles along and then takes huge leaps forward. And just recently it's taken a nice leap forward, so a lot of the problems that we were left with have now been overcome. What we aim to do now is we're going into our beta testing phase a little later than I think I originally anticipated, but that will be going out to our beta testers very soon. So we're actually looking at the product will be called Pocket Howl. And it's
right.
Designed to work on Pocket PC 2003. The way it's working is that you can buy one of a selected number of PDAs and use that with a Bluetooth keyboard, which we actually recommend. So if I give you some ideas of cost, the Bluetooth keyboard, it is all standard hardware. It is around about sort of $80, $90, I believe.
Right.
It can be bought from most good electrical shops.
Yeah.
And the PDAs, we're actually looking at fairly standard iPacks. We can work with nicely. There's some nice Fujitsus. There's more that work with it than don't.
Are you going to publish a list of recommended or of supported devices?
Yes, we're going to publish a list of them that works and them that don't.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay. Yeah. So, and that'll be actually on the Dolphin website. I have to say, there's very few that don't at this time.
Right.
To give you some idea of the spec, about a 64 megabytes of RAM, which is fairly standard in PDA devices at the moment. That runs the Pocket Howl and the synthesizer quite nicely.
But people can source these from the open market, and then they just buy their software from you. They don't have to buy the PDA from Dolphin. I guess they can do if they want to, but people can source all this hardware. You mentioned the Bluetooth keyboards available off the shelf.
Yeah, there's actually one keyboard that we've got working at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a Hewlett-Packard one, I might add. It's the iPack keyboard.
Right.
I would recommend that people only use that one in the short term.
Right.
It does work with nearly all, in fact, all of the PDAs that we've managed to get working with Pocket Howl.
Right.
It's mainly because that particular keyboard has all the keys on it which we need, and some of them have how can I describe this? The numeric side is actually you have to press a function and another one.
Oh, like a laptop sort of layout. Some of them have a more laptop keyboardy type layout, yeah.
Yeah, it's really difficult. And on this particular keyboard, it's easy to open where some of them you need to slide this bit out, bring that across, put that underneath. Yeah, this one is literally very, very easy to open. Mm. Rugged as well, I might add.
Excellent. That's what we want. Yeah. Okay, Steve, so that's sort of in the post, really, as far as the PDA stuff goes. We'll just have to keep waiting for that one.
Yeah, I'm sure we can find you one to test and to show to all the listeners on Main Event when it's around.
Excellent. Well, I'm hoping that you guys will be demoing some of this stuff at the shows this summer.
Yeah, if you pop along to us at Site City in July, I'm sure you'll find us there with a copy.
Yeah, or Site Village, or I expect we'll see Dolphin having some representation at the ACV convention. I would imagine there'll be somebody there. Okay, Steve, let's just finish off, as usual, with some contact details. And thanks very much once again, obviously, for your time. We always appreciate you, very busy chap. And thanks for talking to Main Menu once again. If you could give us those contact details where people can find out more. Okay, so for all of that, where do people go?
Yep, people can come along to either www.dolphinusa.com, or if they prefer, then go to www.dolphinuk.co.uk.
Steve Bennett, Director of Sales for Europe from Dolphin Computer Access. Thanks very much.
You're most welcome. Thanks, everybody.